Russian artists and sports figures are being asked to condemn the invasion of Ukraine or risk being banned from performing in the West. So should they be forced to take a political position? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Hazem Seeker. Across the Western world, Russian artists, musicians, filmmakers, and athletes are being excluded from events and competitions. They are under growing pressure to denounce the actions of Russian President Vladimir Putin. That's despite laws to protect the freedom of expression for all people living and working in Europe and North America. The Munich Philharmonic has sacked its star conductor and Putin supporter, Valery Gergiev. The soprano Anna Netrebko had to withdraw from several events, including New York's Metropolitan Opera. She wrote on Instagram opposing the war, only to delete the post, but she stayed silent on President Putin. And in tennis, the British sports minister has warned Russian tennis players, especially world number two Daniil Medvedev, they may be barred from Wimbledon unless they denounce Vladimir Putin.
And talking about the British government, it's like I said, I think we should show a great example that tennis is should be outside of politics, and not tennis, in general sport, because we are athletes, we want to compete, we were sacrificing so many things. Sport should be outside of the politics, because everyone say this, but in the end, looks like still it's not happening. So that's why I hope that we in sport they will show that there is no politics and we will be a good example to have a huge step forward.
But some cultural figures say artists should take a clear political stance on the war in Ukraine. Russian-born German pianist and political activist Igor Levit wrote on Instagram, "Being a musician does not free you from being a citizen, from taking responsibility, and that bringing up music as an excuse to remain vague is an insult to art." So let's talk more about this now with our panel. In Doha, we have Natalia Pelevin, a British-Russian playwright, political activist and blogger. In Moscow, Alexei Yaroshevsky, a Russian sports reporter based in Moscow. Also in Doha, Daniel Reich, visiting associate professor at Georgetown University, Qatar. His research focuses on sport policy and politics. Welcome to all of you. Natalia, if I could start with you, and if you could talk about the circumstances of how you came to Doha and your position on people going after Russian artists and sports people over this.
Well, I've been in opposition to Putin for a very long time. In fact, I was raised abroad, but I came back to Russia in 2012 precisely to work against Putin, against his regime, which I felt and knew, as we all did in the opposition, will come to something like this, something horrific. And since then, we've been brutally fighting with not much result, unfortunately. I've had the criminal cases against me. I was prosecuted, etc., by those in power for my opposition stance. But I've kept myself in Russia fighting for all those years. I haven't left up until this point, when I've realized that not only am I in danger because I'm vocal about my opposition to the war in Ukraine, but my child is in danger. And that's when I packed our bags and we went to Doha, which is where we are now, for a brief period of time. Hopefully this will be over. The war will be over soon, and then I hope to go back to Russia and continue doing what I was doing. But with regards to all the public people, including sportsmen and people in the arts, and their stance on the war, well, I believe anyone who leads a public life, who has many followers, needs to take a very firm stance. And this stance needs to be in line with what the civilized world has already expressed, and the civilized world has condemned this horrific war. So this is what those people who want to work and compete and just be global, they need to take a very firm stance. Whether it's tennis player Medvedev, whether it's Netrebko, the opera singer, they need to do this. This is important not only because the civilized world otherwise should not really accept them in the future, but also because this is a moral thing to do. I believe we're in a position where it's very much black and white. I'm very much against black and white, generally speaking. But we're in an unprecedented, horrific point in our civilized life on this planet. We haven't faced anything of this magnitude since the World War II. So this is time to be on the right side, on the side of the good. And if those people, famous people, wealthy people, worldly people, if they're not prepared to maybe sacrifice a couple of contracts with Gazprom to be on the right side, then they shouldn't be part of the civilized world. They shouldn't be allowed to compete globally. They shouldn't be with the normal people, and working with the normal people and working for the normal people for the time being, at the very least. And I think, in honesty, I think there will be probably blacklisted anyone who doesn't want to comply with what's, you know, what is the right thing to do, really, at the moment. I think they will be blacklisted for a very long time, and I think they should be. Because this really is a breaking point for all of us.
Alexey Yaroshevsky, you were shaking your head earlier. Is it right to punish athletes and artists over this?
Well, of course not. I mean, I agree with the general notion that, stances should be heard and people should express their opinions on what's going on right now in Ukraine. Well, obviously, it's a free world and we have to express our, approval or disapproval of that. But let's be real about it. I think it's a bit naive to think that if Daniil Medvedev or Alexander Ovechkin or any other prominent Russian athlete or global sporting celebrity or cultural celebrity says no to war, get out of Ukraine, this will not stop anyway. You see, we've seen it time and time again. We have an example of a famous Russian footballer, Fyodor Smolov, who was among the few big-name athletes here in Russia, saying his disapproval of what was going on in Ukraine. Did that stop the bombs falling? Did that stop the military conflict? Of course not. The one thing that people have to understand is that we have, obviously, elite athletes like Alexander Ovechkin in the NHL, who did say his no to what's going on in Ukraine, but did not take down the avatar on Instagram where he is with the Russian president, obviously getting a lot of abuse for that. But he continues playing, he continues scoring goals, and trust me, the Washington Capitals fans absolutely love what Ovechkin is doing on the field of play. But on the other hand, we have sportsmen and athletes from different types of sports here in Russia who are being castigated from the world sporting community for no reason whatsoever. They've never supported the military conflict in Ukraine. They've never voted for it. They've never vocally supported it. And yet they are being cast aside by the likes of Thomas Bach, the president of the IOC, who basically started this whole process of castigating Russian athletes. And, you know, in the case of Daniil Medvedev, the aforementioned tennis player, in the case of Alexander Ovechkin and many other footballers, for instance, Russian footballers across the planet, they are very wealthy people. They are multimillionaires in many cases. But let's talk, for instance, about Paralympic athletes who were kicked out from Beijing a day before Paralympic games were supposed to start. Let's talk about skiers, let's talk about biathletes, let's talk about gymnasts and all the other people who only have one means to survive, it's doing sport here. They were already cast out from the international sporting family, and if they speak out here in Russia, and trust me, you know what I'm talking about, they will have problems here as well, so they basically have nowhere else to go. We have to think about these people as well. Of course, saying your no or yes to what's going on in Ukraine is a vital thing. But I think in the case of athletes, this is just a little bit too risky for them and their livelihoods in the future.
Daniel Reich, what's your take on this? And for those who say sports and politics in particular shouldn't go together, that's the history of that shows that this is not uncharted territory, is it?
Yeah, of course. But in general, when it comes to sporting boycotts, the era of sporting boycotts has ended. We had a lot of boycotts in the 1970s and 80s. In 1976, African countries were boycotting the Montreal Olympics to protest apartheid in South Africa. 1980, the US and other Western states boycotted the Moscow Olympics in protest of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. 84 in Los Angeles, there was some retaliation by East European states. But since the end of the Cold War, at every single Olympic Games, the number of participating countries has increased. So we did not see boycotts anymore in the 90s and forthcoming years. There have been a couple of individual boycotts by Arab athletes on Israeli athletes, but in general, the era of boycott has ended. So this is a very special situation now. It's maybe a bit like 1948 when Germany and Japan were not allowed to participate in the Summer Olympic Games as a punishment for the Second World War. And this time, Russian athletes and teams are excluded to prevent the Third World War.
Natalia Pelevin, if I could turn back to you on this. You know, Alexei made the point there that this is punishing a lot of athletes, particularly in Russia, who don't make a huge salary, and they're being caught up in this through no choice of their own. I mean, you know, foreign-based athletes who have the notoriety are in a position to speak out if they want, but others are being punished unnecessarily.
Honestly, everyone is being punished necessarily at this point. If those people in the sports, they still vote, right? I mean, they don't only just do sports. They have the right to go and vote. If all those years they voted for Putin, this is their punishment. If they just kept silent and did nothing, this is their punishment. I'm very sorry, but that's just how it is. Anyone who didn't stand up in time to this dictator who led us to this point when we're in the middle of a horrible, unjust, completely unnecessary, bloody war is punishable, along with Putin. This is not just Putin at this point. Come on, people, we have to realize it. It's the Russian people who allowed him to get to this point who should be punished as well. Not just athletes, general Russian public, which is being punished with the sanctions, economic sanctions, but that's not what we're talking about today. But going back to the famous athletes, because Medvedev was mentioned on a few occasions, I firmly believe that the global sports community should not accept in its ranks athletes who don't have the guts and the decency to stand up against the bloody war that Russia is leading in Ukraine. They just should not be accepted, period.
Alexei, I know you want to respond to some of that. And I also want to ask you, I'm sure you're aware of the what happened a couple of days ago with the Russian artistic gymnast, Ivan Kuliak, here in Doha. He displayed the Z sign on his vest, which is, as you know, seen as a symbol of support of Russia's actions in Ukraine. He was on the medal podium. And what offended a lot of people, particularly the International Gymnastics Federation, was not just that, but the fact that he was standing next to the Ukrainian athlete who won the gold medal. So they are opening an investigation into that. Are they right to do that?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of political statements in the field of play. I've been long taught that sport and politics are two different beasts and they should not be in the same pot. But even judging by what Natalia was saying there, you know, that athletes should be, you know, not let in to participate in the international competitions simply on the basis of the fact that they belong to Russia, that they are Russian, and whether they have voted for Putin or not, we don't know that. I think it's just preposterous that we have come to this stage where culture, sports, and things which are so distant away from politics are now being completely politicized. And, you know, in the case of this gymnast, I don't approve of what he did. And I do believe that he should be punished for that. But at the same time, let's remember multiple cases when athletes, you know, expressed their opinions in the field of play and they were punished as well. So if that is the principle, it is applied equally to every single athlete. And there was also a case during the Beijing Olympics when a Ukrainian athlete brandished a no war slogan. He wasn't really punished, but there was, you know, there were the war talks between him and the representatives of the IOC that he shouldn't be doing that, even though he wasn't actually supporting anything. He was, to the contrary, saying that there shouldn't be war happening in Ukraine. This is a very dark territory, but I'll give you another example. We're talking about Russian athletes here who may or may not be allowed to participate in international competitions. I mean, I respect, you know, different opinions on that matter, but I'll give you a different example. There is a big football star in Russia who is Georgian. His name is Kvicha Kvaratskhelia. He plays for Rubin Kazan. And the latest information that is being widely speculated now in the Russian sports media is that his family is receiving death threats right now, that if he continues playing in Russia, the family will suffer consequences. So basically someone, I don't know whether that's someone English-speaking or Ukrainian-speaking, doesn't really matter for that point. They're hounding out a player and sending death threats to his family so that he leaves Russia and goes somewhere else. And now there's an international break in football going on. So he left Russia. He may not be coming back. How is that all right? Can someone explain to me? Is this part of what? Is this part of the sports without politics kind of thing? See, it's just crossing all the boundaries. And I don't think, to be honest, that athletes should be paying the price for what governments do, because we don't remember any U.S. athletes or U.K. athletes or any other athletes being banned by international sporting organizations when these countries were engaged in military conflicts all over the world. And now it's the case with Russians, and I think it's unjust, unfair, and it's killing Russian sport effectively, just like it's pretty much been happening over the last 4 or 5 years due to, you know, different reasons.
Let's put some of that back to Natalia then. Is there a line that's being crossed here when you go after not just certain athletes, but their families as well?
Well, I feel very bad for anyone who gets death threats and threats in general. I've been getting threats for the past 10 years from pro-Putin and pro-Kremlin or around Kremlin movements and things. So I know what that is about. So I feel bad about that. But there's always an extreme reaction to those things. Obviously, I think that people who are, you know, taking it to that level, it's very stupid, completely unasked for, and shouldn't be happening. However, I still do believe that if you're a Russian athlete, and unless you vocally, especially if you're famous, if you're not famous, then you don't have many followers, then it may be, you know, it doesn't make much of a difference. But some of those athletes are very famous. They have lots of followers on social media. If they don't take a firm stance because they're afraid of consequences within their Russian sort of whatever life and workplace and whoever they work for, then that's just that's a sure sign to me that they should be banned from the rest of the global athlete community. Because if you don't have the guts, if you don't have the moral stance in you to react to something as horrific as what we see going on in Ukraine, then we don't want to deal with you, period, is what I feel.
Daniel Reich, do boycotts of, whether they're of athletes or artists or anyone in culture, do they ultimately make a difference? And by making a difference, I mean, do they force the person or the regime that's being targeted to change their position, to change their policy?
It depends. I mean, the boycott on apartheid South Africa was certainly successful. And South Africa was for a long period of time excluded from international sports. And when we study the end of apartheid, this sporting boycott might have been one reason. Israel was boycotted at the Asian Games in the 60s and 70s and was then expelled from Asian sporting federations and is now a member of European sports. So this has been also successful. But overall, the architecture of international sports is that athletes and countries compete with each other regardless of different ideologies, politics, religions, and so on. So this should be like really an exception to boycott, because otherwise the international sporting system would not function. I can just share something from discussions with my students in my classes. So they have been critical and said they are double standards because the many Western countries would accept the treatment of the Palestinian people and not boycott Israel, why here is now different action in the case of Russia and Ukraine. This is true. I share this criticism. But I think wrong acting in one case doesn't justify to act wrongly in another case. And we are really in a very critical situation given since Russia has nuclear weapons. So there's really the risk of like a global conflict. So I think while I'm in general against sporting boycotts, I think in exceptional circumstances like this one, it's justified.
What's your view on that then, Alexei? Sometimes things like this are justified, and culture and sport in general, as unfortunate as it is, will become a kind of collateral damage to actions such as Russia's actions in Ukraine.
Listen, let's not. I will be very blunt about it. I don't support what's going on in Ukraine. I lived in Ukraine. I know this country very well, and I've been in shock since day one. There's no justification to me as to what's happening there. It cannot be justified in any way. But at the same time, there's another side to the story that almost I feel like I am Russian and I'm evil by default. And that is not true. Because if you look at how much this country has given to the world, culturally-wise, sports-wise, I just came back from Beijing Olympics. I spoke to numerous athletes from all over the world, from Australia to Norway. And, you know, we already had a situation in Beijing when everyone started talking about Russia again, not for a good reason, not for a bad reason, but for another doping scandal or doping allegations against an ice figure skater. And I spoke to many athletes and they said, listen, if they kick you out from sports, this will be a big loss to us because Russians are among the strongest athletes to compete against. Russians are proving to be a very hard competition for us. So if you're just gone from the face of the sporting earth, we'll just win all medals and it will only be fun for us. It's not going to be as competitive as it was. We never tend to think about that and talk about that in the context of what's going on in Ukraine, especially if we look at what's happening, what's been happening in the past with military conflicts all over the world. And very few countries were actually punished for it. If we remember Yugoslavia, of course, they were kicked out from the footballing World Cup for their onslaught, which was happening there. But other than that, there are just very few examples of the same thing happening to Russia right now. Indeed, the world is coming together, criticizing Russia's actions in Ukraine. But the long-lasting effect of, you know, it has on culture and sports will be felt, and the shocks will be reverberating across the planet. Again, simply because Russia has a big place in sports and culture worldwide. And, you know, what saddens me the most for this matter is that things like sports and culture, they should be uniting people. And in this case, they're only like putting people even further apart, especially in the case when new sanctions are being introduced. And I can tell you that the reaction here in Russia is being very negative about that. It adds to the notion that, you know, to those who are supporting the actions in Ukraine, they're saying, okay, they're sanctioning our athletes. They're kicking out our musicians and things like that. It makes people even more angry. So what good does it do for the quicker resolution of this matter? I have no idea.
Let's put this back to Natalia briefly. The point that Alexei makes there, I mean, sports and arts have often acted as a bridge between cultures and nations. So by punishing the practitioners of those things, don't you risk burning bridges?
Well, bridges have been burned by Putin. There's really not much to repair at the moment. And Putin is the one who divides everybody. Putin is the one who's making this world a much worse place by his actions. So it's as unfortunate as it is, as has been mentioned, that some of those athletes who don't make too much money, who are not world famous athletes, are put in a position when they can't compete. Well, it's unfortunate, but that is the price you pay for competing for the country that is led by a bloody dictator. That is just how it is.
Okay.
That's the term we used for a long time when it wasn't completely justified. Now, unfortunately, it is. He is a bloody dictator. So everybody else is collateral damage in this situation.
On that, we are going to have to leave it. Thank you very much to all three of you, Natalia Polyevin, Alexei Yaroshevsky, and Daniel Reich. Thanks very much for being on Inside Story. And thank you, as always, for watching. Remember, you can see the program again anytime. Just go to our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle there is @AJInsideStory. From me, Hazem Seeker, and the whole team here, bye for now.